Welcome to Missionary Talks, where we talk with missionaries and learn about their lives and work. This is the second part and conclusion to the biography of David Livingston. If you've not heard part one, you'll want to go to www.missionarytalks.com and listen to the first half of the biography. To learn more about David Livingston, please visit missionarytalks.com, where I'll post links to further information about Dr. Livingston. Also at the website, you'll be able to download a version of this program that will contain the full audio from the two episodes into one file. After putting the family on a ship back to Scotland, David was in Kuruman when he got the news that the Boers had attacked Chief Shishelli and the mission station at Kolobeng. Along with the Boers enslaving hundreds of the Bakwain, they killed 60 of Shishelli's tribesmen. The chief escaped with some of his tribe. The Boers destroyed everything that David owned. All he had left was what was with him on his trip to the coast. He had lost all of his books, medical equipment, and medicines in the raid. At that time, David decided to no longer have a mission station where he would call home. He would be a permanent explorer. His next great trek led him to the west coast of Africa to Luanda, now known as the capital of Angola, Luanda. Without the help of a Portuguese sergeant, he and his expedition team would probably have been murdered in the trek. The Portuguese military provided David and his crew with any food and clothing they felt necessary after their narrow escape from the Bashingi tribe. On May 31, 1854, when David was 41 years old, he had completed the 2,000-mile trip from the mission station in Kuruman, southern Africa, through the Kalahari Desert and the West African jungle to the west coast. From the coast, David was offered a ride home on the British ship, the Forerunner. He refused the offer because he had promised a chief that he would bring his men back to him safe and sound once the expedition was over. However, Livingston did send letters and reports back on the Forerunner. Unfortunately, the ship had been wrecked and all hands were lost along with his documents. He was greatly troubled by the loss of life. He then had to recreate his documents as much as possible, which took several weeks. When David returned the native helpers back to their chief, the chief was shocked. They had been gone almost 2 years. There was a general sense that all were lost. The arrival of all the men started a week's worth of celebration and storytelling. He immediately turned his thoughts to exploring the Zambezi River once again. His purpose was to find easy access from the coast to the interior of Africa. The trip to Luanda proved that going through the west was not a feasible route. 4 years after discovering the Zambezi, he finally stood at the top of the smoke that thunders. The noise surrounding him was so loud that using signs was the only way for he and his men to communicate. He stood on an island in the middle of the river and carved his initials and the year 1855 in a tree at the top of Victoria Falls. In May of 1856, he made it to the east coast of Africa by following the Zambezi. He wrote a letter to the London Missionary Society telling them that he had found a way to get missionaries into the interior and that there were many places that he had mapped out that would be prime locations for mission stations. David secured passage back to Scotland to be with his family. His promise to join them in 2 years took 4.5 to be realized. On his trip home, he got news that his father had died. While he was excited to be with his family again, he often chided himself with the thought that maybe he should have returned home sooner. He left home as a 27-year-old green missionary doctor. He returned for the first time as a 43-year-old seasoned explorer. His wife had not adjusted well to living in civilization. She only stayed with David's family a short time and then went to England to be with some of her parents' friends. While home, David was asked to give many speeches on his journeys through Africa. He was honored by the Royal Geographical Society with a gold medal. They asked him to give a speech and was encouraged to render the following words after looking into the crowd and seeing his old friend, Cotton Oswald.
I am only doing my duty as a missionary in opening up a part of Africa to the sympathy of Christ. I am only just now buckling my armour for the good fight. I have no right to boast of anything. I will not boast until the last slave in Africa is free and Africa is open to honest trade and the light of Christianity."
He also spent a great deal of time speaking on behalf of the London Missionary Society. He urged more people to take up the call to missions. The LMS also encouraged David to return to Africa and open a permanent mission station of his own. It still did not see the value of the work Dr. Livingston was doing as an explorer. He was then offered a government position with a salary 5 times more than his missionary salary. His government position was as an explorer. He was also given a book publishing offer. With these 2 offers, he was able to part ways with the LMS. Not because of doctrinal issues or because he ceased to have a desire for missions, but because without the guiding hand of the LMS, he was finally able to perform the task that he felt God called to do. During this time, Queen Victoria requested a private audience with him. She burst into laughter when David told her that the chiefs in Africa were always amazed that Livingston had never met his own big chief. In 1858, David, Mary, and their youngest son Zauga returned to Africa. After their return to Africa, he attempted to make the trip up the Zambezi River all the way to Victoria Falls in a steam-powered paddle boat. On his trip down the river, 2 years previous, he bypassed a segment of the river to make the trip shorter. Little did he know at that time that there were rapids that would be unnavigable. His efforts to return to the falls by a large boat were thwarted. The team with which he set out had little to no understanding of the great trials David had endured in Africa. Though they had all read his book, he was very uncomplaining within its covers. The reality of life in Africa was much more difficult. Ultimately, David seemed to blame himself for the loss of missionaries' lives because they came to Africa without a full appreciation of how hard and disease-filled the life in Africa really was. As he continued to explore from the eastern edge of the continent, he began to see more and more evidence of the slave trade. David began to focus on the abolishment of such a crime against humanity. Just 4 years after their return to Africa, Mary Livingston became ill with malaria. It was her first infection, and she died within a week at the age of 41. He wrote in his journal,
"It is the first heavy stroke I have suffered, and quite takes away from my strength. I wept over her, who well deserved many tears. I loved her when I married her, and the longer I live with her, I loved her the more. God pity the poor children who were all tenderly attached to her. And I am left alone in the world by one whom I felt to be a part of myself. I hope it may, by divine grace, lead me to realize heaven as my home, and that she has but preceded me in the journey. Oh, my Mary, how often we have longed for a quiet home since you and I were cast adrift at Colobeng. For the first time in my life, I feel willing to die."
Livingston still had 11 years to work in the dark but brightening continent of Africa. A couple of years after the passing of his wife, he took a trip back home to see his children. But before making the trip home, he made a trip to India. The trip to India was to sell his flat-bottomed riverboat. He could not afford to have his valuable boat fall into the hands of slave traders. So he sailed from Zanzibar, Africa, to Bombay, India, arriving in June of 1864. For some reason, he had a bit of trouble convincing the port authority in Bombay that he really did cross the ocean in a riverboat. On his second trip home, he wrote another book in which he detailed the mapping of the Zambezi River, and he gave lectures talking of the needs for legitimate trade with Africa to help end slavery. In August of 1865, he left England for the last time. His mother died while he was home, and he received news that his oldest son, Robert, had died in a prisoner of war camp while fighting in the American Civil War. On his next expedition, he came down with a relapse of his malaria. During this trip, his medicine box was stolen. He knew that it would probably be just a matter of time before he would succumb to the disease. The thieves of his medicine box returned to the coast and reported that Livingston had died. They brought the medicine box as proof of this. A search party was organized to find the venerable explorer. They never caught up with him, but there was plenty of evidence to say that the great Dr. David Livingston was still alive. He fell into a party of Arabic slave traders. Though he despised their work, he traveled with them in an attempt to share the gospel with them, in hopes of stopping the trade from the inside. Livingston was, and is still today, criticized for receiving help from the slave traders. Without their help, he would have died sooner from his malaria. He traveled off and on with the slave traders, mostly traveling by himself, and with as few as 6 African helpers for the next several years. November 3, 1871, had the great missionary David Livingston meeting with Henry Morton Stanley. Stanley walked into the village of Ujiji carrying an American flag and uttering the words, "Dr. Livingston, I presume?" Stanley brought letters from home and news from the outside world. They explored the region together for a short time, in which Livingston learned that the lake he was studying, and hoping would be the source of the Nile, turned out to not be what he had hoped. They spent 3 months together in which Stanley attempted to convince Livingston to return to the coast. Stanley returned with only letters and journals from Dr. Livingston. That was the last time any white person would see Livingston alive. During the night of April 30, 1873, Livingston climbed out of his cot and kneeled down and crossed his hands in prayer. He was still in that position when his body was found the next day. His 3 African helpers, Susie, Chuma, and Jacob Wainwright, prepared David's body for the trip back to the coast, and ultimately to Great Britain. They removed his heart and buried it under an mvula, or mpundu tree. Then they carried his body over 1,000 miles to the coast, through war zones, swamps, and jungles. It took them 8 months to arrive. Jacob Wainwright, since he spoke English better than the other two, was asked to accompany David's body back to England. Once in London, an autopsy was performed on the body for proof that it was, indeed, Dr. David Livingston. They needed only check the bones of his upper left arm and knew that they were in possession of the doctor's body. The lion attack of 30 years previous was used to identify him. 11.5 months after he died, David Livingston's body was laid to rest at Westminster Abbey. His gravestone reads, "Brought by faithful hands over land and sea, here rests David Livingston, missionary, traveler, philanthropist, born March 19, 1813, at Blantyre, Lanarkshire, died May 1, 1873, at Chitambo's village, Ulala. For 30 years, his life was spent in an unwearied effort to evangelize the native races, to explore the undiscovered secrets, to abolish the desolating slave trade of Central Africa." Where, with his last words, he wrote,
"All I can say in my solitude is, may heaven's rich blessings come down on everyone, American, English, Turk. Who will help to heal this open sore of the world?"
Speaking at a 100-year celebration of the birth of Dr. Livingston, Lord Curzon, president of the Royal Geographical Society, said, "In the course of his wonderful career, Livingston served 3 masters. As a missionary, he was the sincere and zealous servant of God. As an explorer, he was the indefatigable servant of science. And as a denouncer of the slave trade, he was the fiery servant of humanity." And with that, we'll close our biography of Dr. David Livingston. Born March 19, 1813, died May 1st, 1873.
You've been listening to Missionary Talks with David Peach. Please visit us at missionarytalks.com.